right, turn your Bibles to Psalms 89. Psalms 89. You should be in Psalms 89. As I was considering what to preach today, looking at this topic and deciding, I actually had another message, much preparation done on it, and just couldn't get peace about it. And I was saying, Lord, what do you want me to preach on? And you know, you can't help but speak the things which thou hast seen and heard. And so I looked in my devotional book for thoughts that God had given me in the recent past. And sometimes God gives me direction to preach from the devotions and from what we've read and studied. And as I was looking through, I noticed this passage of Scripture, Psalms 89. And that actually was for today. And right away, I knew what it was that God wanted me to speak on for this morning. And it was further confirmed when a little while later I went downstairs and we had our family devotions and we read a passage for the date. It was the scheduled date yesterday for us to read, and we're reading Today and Tomorrow by Tim Green is what we read last night, and the passage that we read I'll share with you in a little while. But it talked about how the whole world is without excuse, and because the heavens declare his handiwork. And talking about that, and I just knew that this is what God wanted me to speak on. In Psalms 89, the first verse here says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy, what? Faithfulness to all generations. This morning, for a few minutes, I want to talk about God is faithful. God is faithful. And talk about the faithfulness of God. I don't know why exactly God changed my direction last night. I was hours of preparation into a different message, and God kind of directed me this way. I don't know what you might be going through or what challenge or encouragement you might get this morning from this message, but don't miss it. I know that this is what God led me to prepare to give to you today, that God is faithful. We have this first verse here. How many of you know the song that goes with this verse? There's enough of you, I think, that we can sing it. If you don't know it, you can learn it, because it's the words are right there, although it repeats in different places, so it doesn't just go straight through. But let's sing that song together that goes with Psalms 89, verse number 1. I will sing of the mercy of the Lord forever. I will sing, I will sing. I will sing of the mercy of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. So there's another verse song for you that you can sing and keep in your mind. As I turn to that passage of Scripture right away, that song came to my mind. Last night when we sat down in family devotions, I usually ask the kids, what do you want to sing? But this song was in my mind, and I said, this is what we're singing tonight. And we sang that together as a family as we contemplated and thought about the faithfulness of our God. You know, as Christians, we are told and challenged to walk by faith. The just shall live by faith. You and I can walk by faith because God is faithful. You know, I'm trying to think of different ways to illustrate this, and there's many different things came to mind, but one of them was the idea that when you walk into the house, I just turned the lights off. Gus turned it back on. When you walk into the house, you turn your lights on. You do that by faith. You just expect it to work, right? You come in, you hit the button, and you just expect it to turn on. Because every time you come in, you hit the button and it turns on. You don't come in thinking, okay, I hope they work today. I hope that this time when I touch it, they're going to come on. Now, if you live in a place that you have to do that, I'm sorry. Because most people, the lights work when you turn them on. Now, occasionally here in the auditorium, we have problems. The lights don't always work like they're supposed to, as you've been attested to in the past. But typically, you come in and you, by faith, without any thought, you don't even just walk in and turn the light on because it's going to come on. As Christians, we should have that kind of confidence in our God because He is faithful. And we can walk by faith and we can trust Him and we can go through life knowing that when the time is needed, when the hour is there, when the call goes out, that God's going to come through because God is always faithful. He is faithful. In this passage of Scripture we have today, there's a lot of verses. By no means could I give you the whole thing. There's, 52 verses in Psalms 89. We're just going to kind of look at a few of them as we talk about this idea that God is faithful. If you read back in Psalms 88, now we're not going to take time to read it, but Psalms 88 is a passage of doom and gloom. It's a passage that's talking about the hardships of life and the toilless times and the heartaches that we face. Well, just as much as Psalms 88 is a passage dealing with the hardships of life, Psalms 89 breaks out. It's the sunrise of a new day. It is the hope that we have because we have a faithful God. This psalmist writes here, he says here, it's a Mishael of Ethan the Azarite. It's written by Ethan the Azarite. He's written it. If you read the Psalms, you'll see the title or the caption there tells you that it's a Mishael. That's an instructional psalm. You'll see a title like that above many. It's basically the instructions written by Ethan the Azarite. It's an instructional psalm to teach God's people a principle, a thought, an idea. And we know that the overriding thought and idea that he is trying to share here is given to us in the first verse. And then six times through this passage of Scripture where he talks about the faithfulness of God. Now, the faithfulness of God is displayed here and talked about because of the situation that was going on. And I want you to understand, he's writing this. It's a Jewish believer who is reviewing for us the faithfulness of God in the face of great national tragedy. The kingdom there was in great turmoil. It was going through a time where it didn't look like they had much hope. Have you ever been there? Been in a place where you didn't seem like you had much hope? Where the trials were greater than the blessings? Where the hours and the days seemed longer than you had energy to get through? Have you ever been there? Well, the psalmist here was in a place like that. You see, God had made a covenant with David. And he had told David that he was going to establish his kingdom and that there would be a king that one day would reign forever in the line and lineage of David. He had talked about how he would establish his home and his family. And yet here in this time, it didn't look like that was going to happen. David's family was a mess. As he looked and remembered the faithfulness of God, the psalmist here gives us the truth that even in the worst of tragedy, God is still faithful. God is still on the throne. One Bible scholar said it like this: this psalm is a study in the age-old apparent conflict between the promises of a faithful and a loving God and the catastrophes that we often face. So this psalm breaks out for us the contrast between a faithful and a loving God who is always true and always faithful and the situations in life that we face that cause us sometimes to wonder if we do serve a faithful God. And he's assuring us that we do. I'm going to give you a couple things in the Psalms, this Psalms here today, and we'll be done. First of all, the communication of his faithfulness. The communication of his faithfulness. He says in Verse number one, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. It's a great faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. It's a great faithfulness. They praised him in song for his great faithfulness. They communicated in song. They sang about the faithfulness of God, which is what we did as we started here singing that first verse of this passage of Scripture, singing about the faithfulness of God. You have something to sing about when you think about how faithful your God is. As we get further into the psalm, we may get time to look at and talk about the tragedy that they were facing, about the deplorable condition of David's family and the downfall of the nation which they were enduring. And yet, in the face of all of that, the psalmist first opens up with a song, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. This psalmist was in the face of a terrible time, a condition which brought him, as we would look at it today, as a Christian, we would say, it brought him to the brink of despair. It brought him to the edge of the pit. It brought him to the place where all he could do was look up. It drove him to his knees. But in the face of that, the first thing he did is, I'm going to sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. Because great is his faithfulness. And Christian, no matter what you're going through and no matter what you're facing in your life, no matter what trial or test you might have to endure, remember, you can always sing of the faithfulness of God. Because he is faithful. As sure as you come in, and more sure than when you come in and click the lights, you can be assured of the fact that God is faithful, that he will fulfill and follow through. Matthew Henry said this, we think that when we're in trouble, that we get eased by the complaining of it. But oh, such more, we get joy by praising through it. You see, we think sometimes when we're working, I'll be working with the kids, you know, and I'll be working away, and I'll get up and just groan like that. And they're like, Dad, is anything wrong? I said, no, it just makes me feel better to groan, you know. It just helps, you know, to stretch out the old body, you know. And sometimes we think that if we complain, we'll feel better. But it doesn't really help, does it? But you can be assured, Christian, it literally will help if we praise him. It literally will help you through the test and through the trial and through the turmoil if you praise him through it, because he is faithful through it. You downhearted? Are you downhearted? No, no, no. Are you downhearted? No, no, no. Troubles may come and troubles may go. Are you downhearted? No, no, no. Hey, it does something to your heart when you praise him. And it gets you through the hour of turmoil. Because great is his faithfulness. Let me just encourage you, Christian, whatever it is, whatever you might be going through, just continue to praise his faithfulness through it. Because you can rely on him. You can trust him. It's a praise that they sang of his great faithfulness. It also was passed on to the next generation. He says, I will make known thy faithfulness to all generations. It was passed on. He's saying, we talked about it. We let other people know that God was faithful. Hey, have you let anybody know how faithful God's been to you? Have you shared it with anybody? Have you told anybody? We've got to be sure and at least tell the next generation. You see, they didn't get to go across the Red Sea. They didn't get to go across the Jordan River. They didn't get to see us conquer that land. And they didn't get to see all the times that God helped you in the hour of need. And they need somebody to impart those truths to them so that they begin to build a relationship with an almighty God, and they begin to see God for who he is so that they know God and they know his faithfulness. But if we don't tell them, they won't know. They'll wonder, why is dad and mom so excited about God all the time? Because God is good, and because he's helped me in my hour of need, and because he's heard my cry in the darkness of night, and he's encouraged my soul in the turmoil of tragedy. That's why I'm excited about God. But they haven't endured those things. They haven't walked down those roads, and they don't know him like that. And they need somebody to say, kids, let me tell you about God. Let me tell you what God has done for me. Let me tell you how good he is. God is faithful. They praised him, and they passed it on to the next generation. Psalms 119, verse number 90, thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. You know, my kids know that I like Mountain Dew and cookies and cream ice cream and caramel and vanilla over dark chocolate. My kids know that I would take a luxury car every day of the week over a sports car. My kids know some of my preferences like this. Do they know my favorite verse in the Bible? Do my kids know what my favorite hymn in the hymn book is? Do my kids know my God? What are we sharing with the next generation? What are we giving them to carry them through this instructional psalm? Was telling the next generation of the faithfulness of God. It's a great faithfulness. It's also a guaranteed faithfulness. Look down in verse number 33. We see this faithfulness is personal and it's powerful. Verse number 33, he says, nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. You see here, he says, hey, it's not going to be removed. God's faithfulness, he says, my loving kindness, my utter faithfulness, it's not going to be taken from him. It's not going to be removed. Sometimes you might be going through something and you might think, man, I don't deserve God's faithfulness. I haven't been the kind of Christian I should be. I've fallen short. I have not endured like I should have endured. And I'm not all, you know what, on our best day, we're not what we should be. And God's faithfulness is not dependent upon us. God's faithfulness is dependent upon him. And he says, he will not take it from thee. God's faithfulness is a sure thing. God is going to be faithful. It's not going to be removed. And it also is not going to be ruined. He said it's not going to fail. God's faithfulness is not going to fail. There's occasion that when you turn the lights on and the lights don't work because somebody down the road hit a telephone pole or something. But that never happens with God's faithfulness. He'll be faithful. It's not going to be removed and it's not going to be ruined. God's going to be there. He says, we're not going to take it away. He says, nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. It's not going to fail. No matter what happens, it's not going to run out. Amen? Amen. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. In verse number 37, we see it's a public faithfulness. He says, it shall be established forever as the moon and as a faithful witness in heaven. Everybody in the world sees the moon. Every night, you hear the romance stories. You know, the two lovebirds on the opposite sides of the world, and one writes, says, when you see the moon, know that I'll be looking at it too. We're gazing at the same moon. We're beholding the same sky. The whole world sees that moon and how it's always there. And it's a testimony to the faithfulness of God. Last night, as we sat down for devotions, we read We read this. I can't say it like he said it, so I'm just going to read it to you. Who was it, Jonathan Edwards, that read Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God? This is much shorter than that, so you can hang with me, okay? it's only a paragraph or so. We read this from Today and Tomorrow, yesterday evening. Not only do the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork, but the day and the night speak the language of God's greatness and his redemption to all tongues and all nations. Man is without excuse before an almighty God who communicates his love and his forgiveness in dozens of dialects. From the dawning of the day through the dew in an early morning, from the sun's zenith at noon in the blaze of an afternoon sun to the multicolored kaleidoscope of each sunset, he proclaims the language of his grace to the discerning ear. As night falls and deepens into darkness, the stars and their bright beacons point all to him. Then, in the wee hours just before the break of another day, this speaks of the deadness of night and the dread that hangs in the air. But those are both swallowed up by the resurrection of a new day. Perhaps even in the night breeze, the rustling of the leaves, or the daily gust that cause everything from gum wrappers to tumbleweeds to float across the ground, they sing of the spirits moving in the soul of men. The evening and the morning, they have shouted loudly of the gospel of God's grace. Noonday and midnight are a record of his love to you. Just the faithfulness of this world. You know, it is so consistent and so faithful that scientists can track the movement of a star and exactly where it's going to be 100 years from now. Because of the movement of this universe is so precisely faithful. And God is faithful. The communication of his faithfulness, it's communicated to us in all that we see. Not only that, the confidence that we have in his faithfulness. There are many times in our lives when we must walk by faith. We can walk by faith because God is completely faithful. It is a high faithfulness. Look at verse number 2. It's a high faithfulness. He says, "For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens." That's what we read about. We talked about the idea that his faithfulness is established in the heavens. The consistency of the heavens declares the faithfulness of God. It is eternal, and it's established in the heavens. It's not going to go away. The mercies of the Lord is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Psalm 36:5. In verse number 2, he says, "For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever." It's eternal. It's forever. "Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens." It's established in the heavens. That means there's nothing here on earth that can frustrate God's faithfulness. It's established in the heavens. Nothing can take place in your life or in my life that can change the faithfulness of God. Amen? Because it's established in the heavens. Our plans might get frustrated. Our lives might get complicated. But God is still going to be faithful. It's a high faithfulness. It's also a humble faithfulness. Look at verse number 5. He said, "And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord." We're talking about the glory and the magnificence of the heavens, but then he says, "Thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints." Yes, God established the heavens and he has set those things in motion and he makes sure that they all run in consistent and faithful manner. And the glory of God's handiwork is seen in the magnificence of the world in which we live. But he says, hey, that kind of faithfulness, he's going to put also in the congregation. It's going to be there for you and I. brought down to that we can enjoy and that we can have as part of our life. He is faithful to us. He is faithful to save. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Aren't you glad this morning that's all it takes? You call on God and He's not going to change His mind. He's not going to change His law. He's not going to change the way to heaven next month or next year. He set it into motion at the beginning. He said, this is the way where whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you do it, He is faithful and He'll save you. Every time. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to doubt. If you in your life are considering, I'm not positive if I'm saved. Well, let me say, was there a day or an hour that you could point to? You don't have to know the exact day. You don't have to know the exact time. But can you in your mind's eye walk back to the place and say, I understood what I was doing and I called for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. You say, I did that. And He said that He would save you. It's His faithfulness. And He did it. You say, I'm not sure if I'm saved. Then you're saying you doubt God's faithfulness. We can't doubt God's faithfulness. Because He said He would. And He did. He is faithful to save. He is faithful to sustain. He'll sustain us through temptation. There hath no temptation taken you, but is such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. He'll sustain you through temptation. Hey, I know it's a battle. I know the world, the flesh, and the devil come after us with everything that they've got, and we've got this constant temptation to be pulled away and taken from the things of God and to go our own way. But He will sustain you through that temptation and give you a way of escape. And if we yield to it, it's not because God didn't give us the power to overcome it. It's because we chose to go the way of the devil or the way of the flesh instead of to take the way of escape that God gave us. Because God is faithful. One guy trying to lose weight, he drove by a donut shop every morning, stopped and got a donut. He says, man, I got to stop doing that because I need to lose weight. I need to lose weight. And he says, Lord, could you please help me? Tomorrow morning, Lord, if you don't want me to stop at the donut shop, please do not have a spot available for me to park. So the next morning, he went by the donut shop and there was a spot. He figured that the Lord must have made a way. What he forgot to say is it was on the fourth trip around the block that there was a spot. God made a way for him to escape. But like us, he kept going around the block until he found what he really wanted. God will give us a way to escape whatever sin or temptation it is that besets you or draws you away. But we choose to keep going around the block until we get our own way, don't we? That's, but God will sustain you through temptation. He'll sustain you through failure. Sometimes we give in to temptation, don't we? And we fail and we mess up. But He said in 1 John 1:9, what does He say? That if thou shalt, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is faithful to forgive you even when we fail. Even when we fail, God is still faithful. He's faithful through trouble that we face in life. One person wrote it like this: He never fails. He never fails the soul that trusts in Him. Though disappointments come and hopes brim dim, He never fails. Though trials surge like stormy seas around, though testing fierce like ambushed foes abound, yet this my soul with millions more have found, He never fails, He never fails. He never fails the soul that trusts in him, though angry skies with thunder clouds grow grim. He never fails, though icy blasts life's fairest flows lay low. The earthly springs of joy all cease to flow. Yet still 'tis true, with millions more I know, that he never fails. He never fails. God never fails. When circumstances seem impossible, when the signs of the grace that is in you seems at its lowest ebb, when temptation is fiercest, when love and joy and hope seem well nigh gone, your heart then can rest without feeling and without emotion in the faithfulness of your God. Because he is faithful. Revelation 19:11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful. He's even called faithful. He is faithful. Do you serve a faithful God today? Christian, be assured of that and know that you can trust him. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I don't know who needed an encouraging word this morning, who needed to be reminded in the hour of test or tragedy that you're facing of the faithfulness of the God we serve. Hopefully, God encouraged your heart this morning and reminded you how true and how faithful he is. Lord, we thank you for today and the privilege we have to gather in your house. The privilege we have to look and to learn of you in the word which you have given us. I pray, dear God, that we would be reminded afresh and anew of the faithfulness of you. And Lord, it would push us to more faithfulness to you. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we ask you to be with each and every heart here. In Jesus' name, amen.